Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, hello everybody. It is so good to be with you, and welcome again. It is just a thrill to be together, and whether you're watching this online or you're here with us right here in Windsor, we are grateful that you're connecting. And my name's Andy, and I am senior pastor along with my wife Harmony here at the Vineyard. And if we haven't met before, we would love to connect with you. So again, great to be with you. I want to do just a standalone talk tonight. We have been journeying for a good while now in a sermon series on courage. And that sermon series has now come to an end. The showing of courage hasn't come to an end. We all have many more moments of courage to come, but our sermon series is done. If you feel like you need another dose of courage and another sermon, there is the back catalog is on our website. You can find it and review some of the ones maybe you've missed and all that. But I want to do a bit of a standalone talk tonight, kind of about our moment and how we are going to stay together, how we are one body, even though we're perhaps feeling a bit disconnected and scattered across different services and different groups, some in person, some of us remaining online. And it's just really not what we are used to. And I don't know how you feel, but I have just felt this week really disorientated and just kind of messed up inside, and all the rhythms aren't right, and it's just strange. And I've had that feeling on repeat throughout lockdown. But again, as we've begun to gather a bit in person, and we're super excited to be able to do that, it's just kind of intensified for me. It's just not what we are used to. We all can't gather in one place. We have different services meeting at different times. Some of us, we aren't ready to come together yet in person at all, and we're gathering on our online resources and around those things. And despite those obstacles, we are committed to being one body together. And again, whether that's you're part of the online stuff or you're part of the in-service, in-person gatherings in the services, you are equally loved and equally valued. And again, we are committed to being one body together and journeying through these transition moments that Jesus has this world in and our church in. And so I want to speak into that for just a few minutes tonight. And I want to actually help us by looking at the early church. It won't be an exhaustive exploration of the early church. Don't worry about that. Just a few brief things I want to highlight there about how they were incredibly unified yet scattered all over the place. And then I just want to lean into one or two things about what we can do now, actions we can take right now, whether we are connecting online or whether we're connecting in person. Right now, things we can do right now to promote unity and to feel united and to gather together in greater measure. So let's go for it here. And what can we learn from the early church? Again, not exhaustive, but I just want to highlight a few things. When we read the New Testament, which I hope you do, we see that the church exists in one place, Jerusalem, where it's birthed for only a very short amount of time. And even then, when it was located mostly in Jerusalem, it met all over the city of Jerusalem in different houses, and then oftentimes all, as well, the larger spaces like the temple courts. But it was a gathered and scattered church, even at its very birth point in Jerusalem. But from the very start, it was a living thing, very connected together, but also dispersed, constantly expanding and spreading out. And it really quickly, if you read the book of Acts, you can go home tonight and check it out. If you've never read Acts, you're in for a treat. Or if you haven't read it in a long time, you really should. But if you read the book of Acts, you see it quickly. It spreads out geographically, and it spreads out ethnically. The church expands sometimes due to persecution, where Christians flee persecution and end up somewhere else in the world, but then they just keep doing what they had been doing, which is gathering around Jesus and inviting people to follow Jesus, so communities are expanded and the church grows and expands that way. Other times we see the church grow and expand through mission, and people like St. Paul moving around the known world, planting and establishing churches as people hear about Jesus and begin to follow him. And one of my questions that I've been going over in the last number of months is, how did it stay together and how could we stay together? What can we learn? Well, the church did stay together in unity, but it was spread out all over the place. And I think we can learn some important things from it. And if you read the Gospels and the New Testament letters written by the apostles, you quickly see that these churches were unified around a number of things. Firstly, they were unified around Jesus. They worshiped him as Lord, and they knew him as friend, and they knew that they were part of his family. They were gathered around the family of Jesus, and they knew that they were part of that. And just like our biological families, if you think about your family or my family, we can be separated by miles, by even thousands of miles, but we can be still united as a family because we are part of it. We are unified as one biological family. That's our family identity, right? And we're still together even though we can be geographically separate. Well, the church was and is still today gathered around Jesus as his family. And he drew them together. Worship of him draws us together, and it did for them, and it does for us as well. They were also unified around the scriptures. They, of course, had the Old Testament scriptures and the apostles' teaching, which became what we would call the New Testament, the Gospels, and then the letters of the apostles. And these scriptures taught them about Jesus, but also unified them around beliefs and practices and rhythms and distinctives that stood out in the midst of the culture around them, because Jesus had called them out of the cultures they were in and from and into his new family. He had shaped them into a new family with new practices and new rhythms and new values. Things like sacrificial love and fidelity. And they saw in the scriptures a revelation of God's love for his world manifested in the person of Jesus. They saw how to use their money. They saw how Jesus intended them to use their bodies. And they saw rhythms of worship and prayer and all these things and much, much more unified them. And just like the early church, our gathering around the scriptures unifies us. One of our rhythms has been preaching from the scriptures, journeying through the scriptures together as a unifying principle. Another is our value of formation. You know, we are all being formed spiritually, so we are surrendering that to Jesus and inviting him to help us build rhythms of friendship with him that keep us in his presence. Another powerful rhythm that we engage in is something we just did together. We prayed our family prayer, the Lord's Prayer, together. We've been doing that every week for a few years now. And when we pray that together, it draws us together. And then other things that unify the church together, especially the early church, and it's talked about all over the New Testament letters, is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to do many things, but his work to unify the church around Jesus is one of his biggest things. We know the Holy Spirit, we can experience the Holy Spirit, and trust that he can, will, and is right now unifying us as a body around Jesus, around his word to us, and the rhythms and practices of devotion that keep us focused on Jesus and helping us be one body together in community. One of the most famous passages in the New Testament on these themes is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and he's reminding them that they are one body together and they belong together, and he's writing to them about unity and that they are part of something. And each one of them makes up a part of the body. And the context is how they value and love each other, and how even though they each have different gifts and roles, they are of equal value and importance as they serve Jesus and love one another. The writers of the New Testament were always trying to get people to see that even in individual churches, they were part of something bigger, but they each had their own part to play in ministry to others and in unity of the body. So 1 Corinthians 12, the whole chapter is amazing, the whole letter is amazing, but I want to read verses 12 to 14 to you. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Paul's, again, he's just pushing this metaphor of the body. You are like a body, and a body doesn't work unless each part functions together in its own unique way, but also in harmony and in unity. And that body is headed by Jesus Christ himself. In other words, we are parts of his body. He is the head, and we are gathered around him. Our ethnic background isn't what unites us. Our skin color isn't what unites us. Our socioeconomic background isn't what unites us. What unites us together as the family of Jesus is that we are part of his family, called out of the world and into his family, and that we worship him and obey him. And the Spirit's there in Paul's letter to the Corinthians in chapter 12. All who worship Jesus are given the Holy Spirit. He says, you were baptized with one Spirit to form one body. We are unified around Jesus and his presence, which unites us together. And I'm not going to read it out for you, but if you go through the rest of chapter 12, you see Paul just continuing to work this theme all the way to the end of the chapter, and he just pokes at the Corinthians and even us, those who would think that they're better than others or their work for the body is more important. And he kind of pokes at that all the way through the letter, and he maintains unity, unity, unity. But then, really interesting, chapter 12 is followed by chapter 13. It's not a trick question. And if you know anything about Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13 is a really famous chapter on what love is. On what love is and its utmost importance. I'm just going to read a little bit, and if you've probably heard this read out in a church context, certainly it's very popular to be read out in weddings. And some of the words from chapter 13, which follows on from this chapter about one body staying in unity, is this: love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails. It's no accident that when he's speaking about unity, he follows it up with this chapter on radical, sacrificial love. That is how we stay together. Jesus is head, and we're gathered together as his family in worship of him, with the Holy Spirit helping us, uniting us, empowering us, leading us, and then we, empowered by the Spirit, labor in sacrificial love and mutual respect with one another. Well, what can we really do now? Like, how can we play our part right here, right now? Because maybe sitting here thinking, look, I haven't done so well in lockdown. I'm not sure I was doing that well before lockdown. I wasn't doing that well in lockdown, and I feel like scattered, and I feel isolated. Are there things we can do beginning tonight to make a difference, to remain connected and to feel connected as one body, as BCV, in this time of some of us gathering in person and some of us gathering online? And even when we do gather it's distanced and strange. Well, I have a few things that I want to end with, and then I want to pray for us and invite the Holy Spirit to come who unifies us together. The first thing I have been thinking about with this is what we set our mind on or meditate on or reflect on is really, really important. And the fact that we belong to Jesus and his family, we are part of his body, even when we face isolation and feel disconnected, if we are able to set our minds on that fact that we remain connected, no matter what our circumstance is telling us, if we set our minds on the truths of the scripture, that if we have come to faith in Jesus, we are in his family and part of his church. And COVID-19 and the restrictions that it has imposed upon us has really hit our normal rhythms of connecting and gathering really, really hard. What the church has done for generations is gathered together to feel connected, and that has just been, the legs have just been knocked out from underneath that, and it's impacted each one of us in different ways and our sense of belonging in God's family. And for me, and I'm sure for you, it's just been really disorientating. And when we don't remember and remind ourselves and set our minds on the fact that we are part of the body of Christ, we are part of the family of Jesus, we can quickly become isolated. That was the number one thing I heard from people as I was on the phone, on email, trying to connect with people through the worst of the lockdown, was I just feel dislocated from the family. I feel so isolated. And when we don't set our minds on the fact that actually we are, that isolation just increases, and the enemy and our circumstances can begin to lie to us and pull us down and pull us away from Jesus and his community. But when we remember who we are and whose we are, and that we're followers and friends of Jesus, and that we do have the Holy Spirit, that we're part of a church family called BCV, and if this is your first time with us as a church family, you're visiting us and you're wondering, could this be home? We want to issue a big invitation to you that we would love it if this would be your home. That we are, if we can remind ourselves and dwell on the fact that we are part of the body of Christ here, it calls us back to who we are and points us towards home. And many times, for me personally, in this period of isolation, I have wondered, is anyone out there? What has happened to BCV? And I prayed many prayers, preaching into many cameras, trying to do the Sunday things and the different rhythms we did and all that stuff. But a big part of me was wondering, is anyone there? And will anyone come back? When we can come back, will we ever get to come back? And you can get a picture of how I was feeling and really tempted to lose heart because of this lost connection. And all the things that we would have relied for unity, having been stripped away. But each time I had to remember and reflect and meditate on the fact that we are a body. We are still together. We are loved by Jesus. The Holy Spirit is still drawing us together. And that made a huge difference. And that's the first step. So setting our minds on the right things really, really matters. One of my favorite thinkers and philosophers is called Dallas Willard. And he wrote this: "Now we need to understand that what simply occupies our mind very largely governs what we will do. It sets the emotional tone out of which our actions flow. And it projects the possible course of action available to us. What we set our minds on matters. It influences our actions. It influences our emotions. It influences everything. And of course, Paul wrote in his letter to the Colossians, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." when we remind ourselves, when we set our minds on, when we reflect on the fact that as followers of Jesus who have confessed our faith in him, we are part of his family. We have been raised up with him. We are covered by his righteousness. We've been adopted into his family. We are part of the family of God. And because of Jesus' death on the cross, that has been secured for us forever. We're drawn in deeper to his presence, into his life, and into his family, and into unity. It affects our emotions. It affects our actions when we set our minds on these things. We feel belonging. We feel unity. We feel that we're part of something, and then we begin to act in that way. What we set our minds on, the truths of the gospel, influences even our emotions and our actions. The reverse is also true. So I know from personal experience, when I set my mind on rejection, I feel rejected and I act that way and I disconnect and I disengage. And as we have somewhat emerged from lockdown, where do we need to look again? And where do we need to allow our minds to go? Where do we need to set our minds? Where do we need to rest our minds on the truths of Jesus Christ revealed to us in the scriptures and let that begin to call us back home in our emotions and our actions, every part of our being? Another thing that I think is really important here and is a powerful action that we can take is to begin to tell the truth about us. To begin to tell the truth about us. Many times in my life, and again during lockdown certainly, as I said, I felt completely overwhelmed and like I was not making it and isolated. And maybe you felt the same. And sometimes I didn't tell the truth about myself. I put a brave face on it. I thought I should get on with it, or I thought I just will suffer in silence. But when I did find the maturity to tell the truth about myself and how I was feeling and how I was experiencing the world, that's when the body of Christ, known as BCV, responded to me. They prayed for me. They encouraged me. They phoned me. They emailed me. They texted me. And they helped me. It was deeply helpful and healing. And maybe we feel like telling a truth about where we really are is hard, or it's a sign of weakness. Well, I want to tell you now that it isn't. It's actually wisdom and strength and maturity and self-awareness. And if you aren't doing well, that's okay. I want to invite you to send up a signal flare so the search party can find you. It's really important to tell the truth about ourselves. The family of Jesus, that is BCV, wants to help. So don't just get on with it. We want to pray for you. We want to help you in any way we can. And if this is something that you want, there are going to be prayer ministry available. We would love to pray with you and connect with you. If this is something bigger and ongoing, we want to respond to that as well. And you can email us at pastoral@belfastcityvineyard.com. That's the easiest way to connect with us. And we would love to respond with you, pray with you, and walk with you. So again, send up a signal flare. It's not weakness. It's maturity. And it's actually strong and completely self-aware. And these times, I want to invite you, just flowing on from that, will you contact each other more than you normally would? I believe we've got a caring, loving church. We have lifelong friendships formed in this church. We have people who pray together, serve together, love each other deeply. You are wonderful. But I'm asking, would you go even further than you normally would and that you have to this point? It is a powerful action to watch for others. It's a powerful action to be part of a search party that goes and finds the isolated. Would you make a call? Would you send a text? Would you send the email? Would you go for a socially distanced conversation or walk, if both parties are comfortable with it, would you follow the prompts of the Holy Spirit as someone just lands in your mind that you haven't seen or haven't heard from, or the Lord just lays in your mind? Would you just respond to those and reach out? Will we work together to stay together? And again, 1 Corinthians 13 follows 1 Corinthians 12, and we are one body held together by Jesus and the Spirit, but all showing sacrificial, patient, forgiving love for one another. That's hard, but it's powerful and miraculous, and one of our tasks as we are part of the body of Christ. Participating in services, whether they're online or in person, and the courses and life groups, these are powerful things as well. They're not things that we feel like we have to do or should do. They're rhythms we engage in to participate, to belong, and to connect. And however we can, being part of those rhythms is really important and will keep us together. And it's one of the big reasons why we're trying to just keep the services and sermons, whether online or in person, as identical as possible so we can stay together and journey together. Life groups and courses, as Alan said, are live right now. You can sign up for those on our website. One of the last things I want to mention before I pray for us is that another thing we can do is lean into and build the rhythms of prayer, worship, reading, and meditating on the scriptures that the early church gathered around. It unified the early church and helped them gather around Jesus, and it will do exactly the same for us. When we do this, when we build those rhythms and lean into those rhythms, we are participating in them for us. In other words, they do something powerful and profound in our lives, but we're also part of one body. And as we do that together, separated out into our own households and contexts, it builds momentum as we gather around similar rhythms. We pursue Jesus as we gather, but also in our own homes and households. But as we grow in worship and prayer and the scriptures, we are drawn together, even though we're apart. There are lots of resources on our website. If you don't know how to build those rhythms, we have lots of things there that can get you started. And then next week, we are launching a sermon series and an all-church set of rhythms and practices designed to help build these rhythms in our life of friendship with Jesus, build them in our homes, build them in our households. We'll be doing this together as a body that is unified but scattered as well. I am so excited about that. And again, it is good for us, but it also unites us together around rhythms that keep us in Jesus' presence. But I want to close by highlighting prayer and intercession and the rhythms of daily prayer. What and who you pray for grows in your heart. What and who you pray for grows in your heart. That's why praying before you're able to forgive someone is so incredibly important to the process of forgiveness, true forgiveness. Because when we pray for someone, it's really hard to keep them as an enemy because they grow in our hearts. So praying for us as a community and our parts in it, praying for people we know and love and encounter in our community, keeps our hearts pointed towards and involved in community, and it is a massive unifier. It has a powerful effect, but also we feel it and we experience it ourselves. And even though we are spread out in this season, if we pray for unity, it will connect us. If you're sitting here thinking like, my prayer life has taken a nosedive during COVID-19 and I need a refresher course, I'm not feeling too great about that, we would love to help. We would love to help you grow in prayer. If you're like, look, no one's ever taught me how to pray. I don't know really how to pray. I'd love to have that kind of prayer life. I don't know how. We would love to help you learn to pray. Two ways that that can happen right away. Of course, there's loads of resources and more coming on the way, different rhythms, as I said. But there's two things you could participate right now to grow in prayer. First is you could join a Sunday morning intercession team. We have teams that pray every week for our church and for our services. They meet on Zoom and they pray together, and they are powerful things. And they also culminates in a monthly prayer intercession night. And you could join those teams. You may think, well, why would I join an intercession team if I have no idea how to pray? Did you misunderstand me, Andy? Well, I learned to pray I read a lot of books on prayer, which were really helpful, but I actually learned to pray by praying with people who knew how to pray. That's how I learned how to pray. And I think that is the easiest and best way to pray. And so people on those intercession teams who are prayer warriors and are a bit further down the road would love to pray with you and for you and teach you how to pray. And so I'll tell you how to connect with that in just a second. But the second option is there's a life group starting up this autumn very soon where it's a prayer walking life group on Saturday mornings. And again, a group is going to go out in our city and pray for our city, pray for our church. And again, it's a great context to go out with people who love to pray and who have some headway in prayer, and they would love to teach you how to pray. So those are two things. And how you might connect with those, you could sign up for that life group on our website. Lori Carson is involved in leading both of those environments, the life group and the intercession. And you can email her directly, lori@belfastcityvineyard.com, or just go to the website and we can connect you. But what we pray for grows in our hearts. And it even impacts our emotions and how we feel. And if you want to grow in unity and belonging, setting our minds and remembering the truths of the scripture is really important. And beginning a rhythm of prayer around that is also incredibly important as well. I want to end with this. The Holy Spirit, as I said earlier, is a great unifier. That's one of his roles. And I want to close tonight by inviting you to stand and inviting the Holy Spirit's presence for us. And I'm going to pray over us. I'm going to invite him to minister to us and to unify us. And whether you're watching at home, online, or whether you're here in the seats with me, the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to rest on us and he's going to do a lot of different things. One of the things I believe in faith that he loves to do is to draw us together. And whether you feel incredibly isolated, disorientated, alone, the Holy Spirit can come and pour out the love of Jesus directly into your heart and draw you into the family. So why don't you stand, and I'll spend a few just brief moments praying, and we will be done. If you're at home, stretch out your hand maybe and just begin to receive just like we are receiving here. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. We welcome you. We welcome you. And I invite you, as we begin these new rhythms of gathering, even though we're scattered, would you unite us together as one body? Would you give us greater revelation of Jesus that we can worship and obey him rightly? Would you draw us deeper into his family and deeper into this church family? I pray right now where maybe in our emotions, in our hearts, we are just feeling disconnected and isolated and really, really sore. Holy Spirit, would you come and minister deeply? We want to receive from you. And would you pull us closer together? Would you lay your grace upon our minds, that we might be able to, in greater measure, set our minds on Christ and things above and be swept up in that? Would we reflect on what's been done for us on the cross? Would we reflect on the goodness of Jesus and his righteousness that's been handed to us, and that we are safe with him, loved and adopted into the family of God forever, that we are safe and secure and dropped in? Would you lay that grace on our minds to begin to meditate on deep truths? Would you lay your grace on our hearts? Would you begin to speak to our emotions? And would you even begin to kindle emotions of belonging and love and just resting in your presence and resting in community? And I pray specifically for anyone here who has ever wrestled with rejection like I have. I pray for a special anointing, and that you would feel a deep acceptance right now in your spirit. Deep acceptance from Jesus, his people gathered around you. We just pray a new season that you live in acceptance, mercy, and love of Jesus in a new way. And for anyone watching or gathered here who just feels like you've let the side down during isolation and lockdown, and you haven't been great with faith and rhythms and life with Jesus, I just want to say to you now, come home. come home to his presence. He welcomes you with open arms. His church, Belfast City Vineyard, welcomes you with open arms. And we just say, come home. Come into his presence. Come back into family. There's a place for you at the table. In your Father's house, there's a place for you. Come in and help us be a part of gathering in unity around Jesus, whom we love and worship. Holy Spirit, would you seal this up, and would you seal us up for the day of redemption? We wait for you and we say, come quickly. Unify us now, and we look forward to the day when we will all be together, gathered around your throne, worshiping you with abandon. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.